course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too shabby, just hanging out. Although my mom's been a little weird lately. She's been talking in a pretty deep voice. I'm pretty scared, if I have to say so myself.
Yeah, moms are like that. So we are reviewing the movie The Voices of Our Mother, which is on Shudder right now. But we have a few things to talk about before we get there. This is kind of a light show, it seems like we're a little light on the news and stuff, but that's okay. We'll make it fun. We'll make it entertaining. We always do. But before we dive into the other stuff, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Let's see. I have been on a Criminal Minds kick, so I've been watching that. And while not directly horror, I do think that true crime and procedural shows like that can sometimes ride a very thin line. And Criminal Minds has some pretty scary episodes. So, other than that, I recently watched a show on Apple TV that was recommended to Kayla, actually, by one of her coworkers or somebody that she knows at work, called Widow's Bay. It's pretty good. It's kind of like a horror dark comedy, but it is about a cursed New England town, or I should say island, because they are waterlocked.
Okay.
And the people of the island are super superstitious. They think that, like, there's a curse on the island and that there's, like, you know, nobody can leave and all this stuff. And yeah, it gets pretty pretty freaky, and it's got some good stuff in it. And it's a lot of lesser known people that I've not seen in a while. But it's on Apple TV. Let's see. I think that's it. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, interesting. Again, yeah, you know, true crime, and it's kind of right. It's kind of like a real life horror, right? I mean, sometimes real life is scarier than the stuff we talk about.
True.
But yeah, and I was going to ask before you explained, it's like, well, how did you stumble into Apple TV? Because it's weird. Because I don't think I ever seek out anything Apple TV original. It's peculiar. I've watched a few things, and it's usually pretty good. But it's like, I don't know. It's like Apple TV. I don't really think of, although it is the streaming platform for Peanuts. That so typically when I go to anything original, it's Peanuts or Snoopy related.
I don't normally seek out things on Apple TV. I won't lie, just because they don't really have a lot, but they do have this show. They also have another good show that I would say, again, it borders on almost being horror, called Severance. Which is really good. I would say it's more psychological horror, if anything. But yeah, no, I don't typically go to Apple TV when I'm perusing. I'm not like, oh, let's go see what's on Apple TV.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, again, I've not been to Apple TV in a while. And whenever I go to Apple TV, again, it's for Peanuts or Snoopy, something to that vein. I used to watch that, whatever that show they had called Morning Show, which was pretty good, but I kind of fell off. I don't think I watched. I hadn't kept up on that. So yeah, I don't know. I'm just not an Apple TV guy, I guess. It's weird. But I didn't really watch anything either. Again, everybody that listens know I'm on this mega Star Trek watch, and I am into season 4 of Deep Space Nine. So again, it's not really horror, but yeah, there, you know, obviously there's aliens and creatures and all kinds of cool stuff. I'm very much enjoying my watch through this stuff. So it's kind of consuming my time. I know I should probably devote a little more time to watching a little horror, so it's not so boring. But I could do a hell of a Star Trek podcast if anybody wants to talk about that. But nothing really for me. I've not rewatched anything. I give my word over the course of the future, the next few weeks, I will try to do better. To at least watch something every week, right? You know,
yeah,
There's stuff out there, and I'm slacking because it's like I'm so into the Star Trek thing. It's like it's all I want to watch. I'm consumed by it. So all right then. There you have it. Kind of a lackluster opening, I suppose. But we've got just a few new stuff, but we're gonna have fun with it. So stick around, and we will be right back with all that stuff.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news, spread the news, spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right. So like Dave said at the top of the show, not a real busy news week, which is not a bad thing per se. That means that nobody's died and no delays. So
right. Now, when we say it's not an, the thing is this, right? It is a busy world in horror. There's lots of trailers and things like that, but we don't report on each other. We couldn't do it. We couldn't keep up on it. So there is that, right? So if you there's lots of trailers and stuff, but what we call diehard news stuff, yeah, I don't, it seems like kind of a slow week, which is okay. It happens.
That's right. But our big news this week is that it has been announced that there is a new installment of the Blair Witch franchise coming to theaters on September 24th, 2027. So we still have a year and 3 months-ish away before we get that movie. No trailer, and there was like a teaser that had like the Blair Witch stick figure thing hanging from a tree with the numbers and stuff. So no other information, just that we're getting something next year. Probably get a trailer in the next 6 months or so, like a teaser. Kind of depends on what the studio is feeling like doing. But this is exciting. You know, we both love Blair Witch. We don't talk about Book of Shadows. But, you know, the OG Blair Witch is obviously iconic in the sense that it really started off the modern trend of found footage horror films. And has really developed the flavor of found footage that we have now, and of course the remake was actually really good too. It had a solid spin on how they can connect multiple movies multiple years apart without being Book of Shadows, which obviously had a lot of drawbacks. I think that's all my yapping for Blair Witch. I'm very excited for this. Obviously, I'd rather them do it right, take a long time, than be quick and be wrong. So I will wait until 2027 to see this movie.
Yeah, again, I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be exciting. And I'm even more excited because this comes on the heels of the settlement of several lawsuits and different things, right, that have occurred. And I'm not going to – I don't even know how to – I can't decipher through all that. But it has a lot to do with – some of the original actors and participants not getting their proper due, their proper pay, whatever. I don't know what it is. All of it. There was a lot in it. But anyway, it's all been settled, I think. I'm assuming. Because some of the original actors, some of the original creators, they're back on board for this one. Which is, so that's what makes it exciting. Right? This feels proper, right? Because you've got some of the people, some of the actors, a lot of the creative minds behind the original back on board, back involved. So that all instantly gives it more excitement in my eyes, right? So I'm looking forward to this. I'm curious to what they will do, whether it'll be a requely type thing, right, where they bring in some of those original actors, and I don't know, right? I mean, who knows what they're going to do yet? But I'm assuming they'll be involved. And it'll be curious to see how they do it. And I'm looking forward to this. And should be fun.
Absolutely. So, all right, we'll keep an eye out for that. But for now, we will move on to the rest of our stuff and news and whatnot. starting us off here on the birthdays, we have June 25th, 1975. We have Linda Cardellini, known, of course, for her role as Velma in Scooby-Doo, but also as Pamela Voorhees in the upcoming Crystal Lake franchise, I should say series. You know, she was also in The Curse of La Llorona, which is a James Wan movie in the realm of Conjuring. But she's also done all kinds of other stuff. We could even go as far back to when she was like a kid. She did a Goosebumps-esque show in Canada. I cannot remember the name of it, but I watched it when I was a kid. I love Linda Cardellini. She's a very talented actress. Freaks and Geeks, that's another good one. I'm going to get lost, in fire.
I do love Freaks and Geeks. Doesn't really apply here, but oh, great. And again, I think this is probably the first time we've brought up her birthday, right? Not because she's not dabbled in the horror genre, but she's not been really, you know, I don't even know how to phrase it, right? She's not had a prominent role, per se. But now, obviously, we're all pumped and psyched for the upcoming Crystal Lake. She is Pamela Voorhees. She's the lead in this. Very exciting. She was so good as Velma and Scooby-Doo. I mean, don't get me started there. And we all know, right, we call Scooby-Doo a gateway drug to horror for people. But, you know, and I'm not knocking that. But this has really been the first case where we've had to really talk a lot about her with Crystal Lake. She's not done any horror recently anything that we would have reviewed. So it's nice to, again, she's very talented, great in everything she does. And it's very nice to have something current that she's involved with that where we can talk about her and bring up her birthday. So happy birthday. She's just a month and a half older than me.
There you go. And also I found this show. It was called Bone Chillers. It was a children's book, but it was like Goosebumps. And it was a fun show.
Goosebumps, Bone Chillers. Yeah, that sounds like that tracks.
Love it. But all right. Anywho, happy birthday, Linda. I hope you are doing well. And we will go ahead and jump now to our other birthday this week, which is June 28th, 1979. We have Felicia Day, course known for her role in Buffy the Vampire Slayer and also as Charlie in Supernatural. She's obviously done a lot of other stuff. She was a YouTube star for a while, did a lot of stuff in the YouTube sphere. She continued to do work and whatnot on that platform. And right now there's a Kickstarter, I believe, to revive one of her old programs that she did.
Yeah. If you like Felicia Day, and anything she's done, and if you have not watched The Guild, you're doing yourself a disservice. The Guild is hilarious. It is great. It is so funny. And that's what she's doing the Kickstarter for. They're doing a Guild movie. But on top of that, The Guild was pretty groundbreaking. It was one of the first that I remember, at least, kind of YouTube series type things that was out there and that was done. And then it's so good, though. The Guild is just amazing. It's just her talent shines through. Everybody involved does. But again, she played one of the potential slayers in Buffy. She's in an arc in that. Of course, Charlie is Supernatural. She was phenomenal. She's been in lots of stuff, done lots of things, does lots of writings and involvement, does lots of conventions. She's very active in the geek world. She's a big gamer, big tabletop gamer. And also video games as well, I think. She's just such a cool person. She's one of those bucket list people that I want to meet someday. She's just too cool. If you're in Buffy and you're in Supernatural, you're getting the mention here. If you really want to see some good Felicia Day, watch The Guild. It's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Happy birthday to Felicia. Very talented and very multifaceted. Does so much. So happy birthday to you. Mm-hmm. And we're going to jump now to some movie anniversaries. These are some good ones.
Yeah.
We have June 25th of 1976. We have the OG Omen. We have the original Damien and the mark of the devil and everything else. And, you know, this one kind of set the stage for a lot of other you know, similar demon and devil related movies to come. You know, a lot of tropes from these 70s movies really filter down into like all the other movies from the 90s, 2000, 2010s, and so forth. So, Omen's great. Even the remake's pretty decent as far as remakes goes. And I also hear that the sequels aren't as terrible as some may say.
Well, yeah, but again, I mean, the original is just spectacular. That kid was great. Again, 50 years old. That's phenomenal. I mean, this movie is just, again, a month and a half older than me. No, I'm sorry. This is the year after me. Disregard. Again, roughly my age, right? A year behind me, but which is just remarkable. And again, these movies are so good. They stand the test of time. Again, if you're into horror, this is The Omen is one of those horror 101 movies that you need to watch. It is so good. It stands the test of time. But yeah, again, the sequels, they're not bad, right? They're varying degrees and you know, whatever. And the remakes are pretty good and everything else. But I'm sorry, the original is just spectacular.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree. This is one of those times where, with the same thing with like The Exorcist, you know, you have that original film that just really stands the test of time and really just shows that, you know, hey, this is a good movie. Even if there are some flaws to the movies, they're still fantastic films.
Yeah, and you got to keep it in the context, right? Again, when you watch a movie, anything you see that is a flaw, as you would, you modernize. I mean, think about The Omen's 50 years old. Anything they did, think about the time they were doing it. But again, The Omen's scary as fuck. It's scary. Kids are scary, man. Scary kids are creepy. Kids are weird, and The Omen perfected it.
Absolutely. Perfected the creepy kid trope, and we got plenty of other stuff. We even had that prequel not too long ago, The First Omen.
Yeah,
That
was
was
it
very
wasn't
popular.
bad. Wasn't bad.
No, wasn't bad at all. But all right. Then we have
Oof.
June 25th of 1982, another classic that stands the test of time, The Thing.
Oh.
Man. The Thing is great.
Oh yeah.
It this is another one of those movies that like you watch and you're like, wow, this is one of those movies that they need. I feel like they do need to remake this, or at least make a sequel. I know they made a prequel in like the 2000s, and it was pretty good too. But man, I would love to see a modern recreation of this. I'd love to see somebody step up and, you know, take the practical effects on and just really make another great monster movie like that.
Yeah, but again, this is one of those movies that I'm sorry if you love horror. Again, we know we're big proponents. You don't gatekeep. You don't say you have to watch this. You have to watch that. You have to watch this certain style. We don't believe in all that. But if you are truly interested in having a wide scope view of horror and knowing where horror came from and how it developed, how it got to what it is now, you have to watch The Thing. The Thing is a masterpiece. It is so good. Dare I say it's I man it's I think it would rank right up there as one of the damn near perfect horror movies of all time. I don't know that I would tweak anything about it.
Yeah, I would actually err to the side of your side there, because the original thing, it was so masterfully done, and there were so many great things, so many amazing effects and works that were so well done that there really is no way to outdo the original.
Yeah, and again, done in 1982.
True.
That's
All
that
those effects,
that
82.
yeah, that always boggles my mind, right? Because it's like the things they can do now with modern technology is one thing. But when you think the movies they make right there 40 something years ago, and to make a movie that good and that you can't really poke holes in, that's phenomenal. That's talented. And The Thing's a great movie. Everybody should watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right, beyond The Thing, we have one other movie birthday anniversary type deal this week, and it is June 27th, 23, 2003. Good Lord, 28 days later. Wow, the
Modern classic.
original modern classic. That's absolutely right. It's crazy that this movie is 23 years old. This movie has spawned, obviously the sequel 28 weeks later. And then, of course, we had 28 years later, as well as 28 years later, the Bone
The Bone
Temple.
Temple.
Isn't there rumors of like a there? No, there is. There's going to be a third
There's
movie.
gonna be
There's a third
another.
movie in the trilogy. Yeah.
It's pretty wild to think, right? It's again, it's one of those movies. I don't know, when you watch it in retrospect, you can see, I see why this launched a franchise. But it's I like all of them, right? I enjoy all these the movies in the franchise. But the right, as in most franchises, when you watch that first one, the original film in the series, you see why, right? You see why it has become what it has. And you see why 28 days later is it's really kind of starting to cross over again into that pop culture echelon, right? Where non-horror fans are kind of starting to know of it a little more. I mean the modern the current movies are great. I like what they're doing with it. I like where how they're taking the series. But man, I've only watched the current movies, you got to go back and watch the original to know where it came from. It's such a great movie.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree. Obviously, the original 28 Days Later, it was at the time. I feel like people watched it, but I feel like it really gained its traction as the years went by and the zombie genre kind of expanded. I feel like there could be a study done about the huge expansion of the zombie genre in the 2000s, even the early 2010s. I feel like everybody and their mother wanted to do a zombie movie. So you got things like Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer. You got Pride and the Prejudice versus the Zombies. You had Zombieland. You had all these movies that sort of expanded zombie lore and zombie this, The Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. I mean, so many movies. But I really think that these early 2000 zombies movies or zombie-esque movies, depending on how you view these creatures, because I guess they're not technically zombies, they are. I mean, it's crazy. It's huge. It's this large expansion, and I don't know. I specifically, 28 Days Later is one of those movies where you watch it and you're like, wow, this was ahead of its time, and truly it was. It was ahead of its time for 2003.
And of course, that right, there's the Walking Dead boom. And someone could write a book on this, right? What started it, right? I mean, everybody knows, right, and thinks Walking Dead, but there were movies that predated that, right? That really started this. And I mean, maybe there are books. There might be books written out there. I mean, there's a book about everything. But it would be fascinating to see someone really do a smartly written, in-depth research into that early to early 2000s the resurgence of the zombie phenomenon, and kind of what kicked that off, right? I mean, obviously you have things like Walking Dead and whatever that took it to the next level, but what's kind of started, right? What was the first to that to the line? And I don't know. I've not done the research. Off the top of my head, I think you'd probably be surprised if you, right? And I'm not saying it's 28 Days Later or any of that film, but I think if you really looked at it, you'd probably be surprised by what the first dive back into the zombie phenomenon would be at that time.
No, absolutely. It is, like I said, they could do a whole study on this. I feel like somebody needs to sit down and like do a huge research paper and dissertation about this. It's
I mean, we can't forget, right? Walking Dead began as a comic. Right, it was a comic book
yeah, it
before it was
was.
a TV show, right? So you right, which obviously the comic book world is often a little more open to this stuff, right? Where you don't have to have the amount of backing and such as you do to make a TV series or a movie. But again, as someone, you and I, Ike, who were very, very active during this time period
Yep.
in the comic book world. Even more specifically, the comic book retail world, right? I owned a comic book store. You worked in said comic book store during this period. You can say what you want. Walking Dead was in a league of its own. It wasn't even a comparison to what Walking Dead sold as compared to other books. It wasn't. I mean, again. We had midnight openings for Walking Dead special issues, like the 100th or whatever it was, and things like that. Walking Dead was a phenomenon in the
It
comic
was.
book world. There's a reason why it became a TV show. Yeah, again, I don't want to stray too far, but it would be fascinating for someone to really go back, look at the dates, the numbers, the timeline, of this zombie resurgence, which honestly is still kind of going, right? We still get a lot of zombie stuff, and again, no disrespect, if some, there might be someone who's done that, and again, I apologize if they have, and I would love to give you credit for that. So if you listen and you have done that published work or done that research, reach out, let us know, because it's fast. I love that stuff. That's fascinating to me, right? Because it's peculiar, the things that kick off this stuff. And again, I'd love to sit down with like Robert Kirkman and ask him, what made you want to do a zombie comic book? What was it, you know, that sparked that ideal to do that, and to really focus on the stories and whatever else. But I'm fascinated by that kind of stuff. So not to stray too far off, but right, the 2000s was a weird, it was, zombies were it, man, in that early to mid 2000s. And again, I think it's still going on. You know, zombies have not really fully faded away. Yeah, and it's pretty fascinating to think back on what was what was the proponents of it. And but again, to kind of swing back to where we were, 28 Days Later had a hand in that. They had a part in that in 2003, early on. So
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that is all to say that 20 Days Later really did a lot for the zombie genre and community, I'd say.
yeah, I mean, we rambled a lot there, but yeah, again, that's it's all to circle around to the point that 28 Days Later was an impactful movie.
Yeah,
So
it holds up really well, even
it
to today,
does. Yeah, it
even though
really
it's only
does.
23 years old,
Sure.
But
And dare I say, one of the best of the franchise still.
no, I would say one of the best and perhaps one of the most unique. I think that this was a different kind of creature, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
But all right. Well, here's what we'll do. I think that does it for our news birthdays anniversary. So we have an upcoming release to chit chat about. Forbidden Fruits comes to Shudder on June 26th and is described as a small, pardon me, at a mall store, not a small tour. At a mall store, Apple leads a secret cult with coworkers Cherry and Fig.
There you
Apple
go.
Cherry and Fig, that's a hell of a thing.
Yeah.
New hire. Oh, Forbidden Fruits, I get it now. Okay.
Yeah.
New hire, Pumpkin questions their sisterhood, forcing them to confront inner darkness and meet violent ends. So we will be reviewing this movie next episode. The Forbidden Fruits obviously make sense now. They're all named
Yeah.
after fruits.
Well, let me first say, again, you and I are both looking at the same notes, which I did type up for the show. I do apologize because, yeah, that description, dude, I fucked that up. That was wild. Way to go by navigating that.
I
But
tried.
again, when I'm reading this review or hearing this review earlier, and I was thinking about it, I get it, right? I get the names in the Forbidden Fruit title. Oh, it's clever. But if this movie does not explain to me why they all have these names, I'm going to be disappointed right off the bat.
Yeah.
Is this a thing for their store where they're like nicknames? I don't know, right? You have Forbidden Fruits, but you have the people, you know, apple, cherry, fig, pumpkin. What? That's peculiar to me. So please, hopefully, explain that to me. But again, when you talk about, you know, cults and that kind of thing, and the sisterhood, which makes me think witches and whatnot. I don't know any deeper about this movie than what we just read. It does intrigue me. It does sound interesting. And you know, if you have it set within a mall store, and that's their home base of where these people are meeting, so it's in a kind of a modern setting. I'm hoping they navigate this well. It sounds intriguing, but this is one of those where we don't have enough information to know what's, you're walking the line. Which side of that line are you going to fall? It sounds like it can either be fun and entertaining, or it's going to bomb pretty bad.
Yeah.
I'm an optimist, and given that it's coming to Shudder, I want to say that hey, they walked this line well, and it's going to be clever and fun, and that's what I'm hopeful for, and that's what I'm going to go into it with the open mind. I'm not going to bury it before I've seen it. So I'm curious. And again, I don't know, right? This is doesn't tell us a lot. I'm very curious what to expect from this. So yeah, I'm intrigued. This is we're kind of in a whatever, a little bit of a lull period for new releases in theaters, right? We're kind of catching our breath for the probably the big summer upswing in the into the fall, right? Fall is always the hot thing for horror. Well, actually, horror is hot all the time now. But so we're leaning into the streaming services. And it's nice to be able to do that, right? It's nice to be able to watch a Shudder movie, like we're doing on today's episode, and get to review that because we obviously always want to show our appreciation for like Shudder and Screambox and things like that. So this movie, I don't know what to think about it though. I don't. It's very very confusing to me. So we'll see what happens when we watch it.
Yeah, no, I'm very intrigued. After having read this synopsis, I'm very curious as to what the meaning of the fruits are.
Hey,
I you know, that's my big thing right now.
they better explain this or else I'm going to feel let down. I don't care how good the movie is. If they don't explain why they have these names, I'm gonna be disappointed. Don't do this to my OCD brain. Tell me why
Don't
there's
do it,
an a
man.
tell me why there's an apple, a cherry, a fig, a pumpkin. I don't care how simple it is, if it's just a they give you a nickname because if you work in the store, whatever it might be, I don't care. Forbidden fruits, don't let me down.
Absolutely. But well, all right. Like they've said, a little bit of a slow movie release. So, you know, we always fall back on those streaming services, and I love it.
Yeah.
Love it, love it. But all right. That does it for our news, upcoming birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we will have our official review of The Voices of Our Mother. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/wrestlepod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
Okay, we are back on Listen to the Screams, and we are reviewing The Voices of Our Mother. We are, whatever you want to call it, calling an audible, throwing a curveball, whatever sports analogy you want to throw in there. We were originally going to discuss Leviticus. That didn't work out because of the theatrical release, right? Not broad enough for us. So be it. That's okay. Again, here we are. Shudder's got our backs with this new release, The Voices of Our Mother, written and directed by Mark O'Brien, starring Sheila McCarthy, Georgiana Riley, Mark O'Brien himself, and others. And this movie was released exclusively on Shudder on June 19th. Okay. This is a perplexing movie to me because there were parts I like. I really thought the acting was pretty good. Damn, I can't remember character names. The one character, the one brother, not the one of the twins, the other guy, the odd
Martin.
brother, Martin, that's it. Man, I love that guy. Again, I know he was a druggie, he did cocaine through it all. I love the way that guy acted in this movie, right? The way he was just so, I don't know, he was just, I liked him. Not to say I didn't enjoy, the other acting jobs were very good too. But that character really I liked. Obviously, again, I'm not going to give spoilers. That character had a much deeper role in this, the world and the universe, as we watched further into the movie. Man, how do I phrase this? The movie in and of itself, overall, not bad. Not a bad concept. Not a bad idea. Again, the acting, the cinematography, all that stuff, very fine in portraying the story. I thought there were times, I don't even know how to phrase this, right? There were times when just the storytelling of the movie was a little weird. The way it began and the way and then what we jumped into felt very jarring to me. I think a lot of what was at the beginning, I think it needed further explanation than something to open the movie with. Once we got the other family members, we started to understand a little more, but I felt like I was playing catch up, trying to figure out what the hell's going on here. I don't know. The movie to me felt a little bit choppy in places, a little bit all over the place. Not, again, I'm not a professional in this, so I hate to critique and say this, but there was something in the editing, the pacing, the something of it that just felt off to me. It skipped around a bit. They kept bringing the priest back. I felt like just when it was convenient for them, right? When they needed a kind of an out, kind of a something to kind of bring it together. They brought him back, and I don't know. The movie was okay, nothing spectacular. Not a movie that I would probably rewatch, really, to be honest. It had its moments, but ooh, I hate to use the word, but at times it kind of felt a little dull to me. And not quite as creepy as I think it could have been, given some of the scenario they were setting up. I think they could have added a little more creepiness, a little more tension in some spots. I think they had the opportunities. But it was they leaned so much more into the character development within the family, which is okay, but you can't trade off everything for that if you're making a horror movie. And again, the characters, I was invested in the characters, and I really believed the portrayal of the characters by the actors. But then because of that, it felt more drama-ish than horror-ish to me, because they kind of lightened up on the horror stuff a little bit. But I don't know. I mean, again, I felt like I was a little disappointed with the movie overall. So, Ike, what did you think of Voices of Her Mother?
So I did enjoy the movie. I will start with just the simple. I did enjoy the movie. I think that Dave kind of mentioned some of the flaws, and I do agree with the sentiment that some of the characters almost just seemed there to ensure that there was an out for the plot. And the pastor was the big one. The pastor is the big one, and I. It wasn't that he did a bad job acting. It just felt like this motherfucker would pop up randomly. And the part that really just and here's my caveat to this, because they never, I guess, explicitly explain this, but unless he was not real, I don't imagine how his character popping up when he did would make any sort of sense. Because there's that one scene towards the end. And I'm not sure if Dave knows what I'm saying, but there's a scene like right towards the end, after sort of the climax of the film, where the oldest sister and he kind of have a short scene together. He just comes out of nowhere. Like, even the character acknowledges, "Where did you come from?" Like, so I don't know. It's sort of weird how that all kind of transpires and how it all works. But other than that, I mean, really, it was just sort of an okay film. There wasn't anything extraordinary about the movie. I wouldn't go out of my way to watch this movie again, I don't think. As far as a movie in this genre, the story was pretty decent. It was a little bit different than sort of some of the things we've seen before. Not terribly different, but sort of different. I think that this movie takes a lot from, I'm not sure if you've ever seen the movie The Taking of Deborah Logan, I think it is. But I feel like this movie takes a lot from that kind of movie. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, a lot of inspiration for the idea that a person has, you know, dementia or Alzheimer's, and it might be mistaked for something more sinister, you know. Or even that movie, The Rule of Jenny Penn, kind of even played into that a little bit too.
Sure.
So, you know, I think that's a pretty common trope. It's not unbroken ground, but I think they did a good job. I think they did an all right job with the script and the actors overall. I think that everybody seemed like they fit, other than the, of course, the pastor, as mentioned. I think that the filming itself was really well. The cinematography, the locations were beautiful. There's a lot of really great architecture. I feel like they really purposefully chose where they filmed, because it was beautiful. It was such a stark contrast to the content of the film. A lot of Gothic infrastructure. There's even a little bit of a section with a gargoyle that was really cool. But overall, without giving any spoilers or anything, I think it was a good movie. It was just, there were a few things I would tweak. Obviously, I'm nobody, but if I were in that position, I would tweak a couple of the positionings and some of the appearances, and maybe go a little darker with it. And yeah, I mean, overall, not horrible.
I think they had a lot of some good ideas. I think they just needed to really commit to something a little more. I think like they were, it's like they, I don't know, like they were almost afraid to go all the way with any of their ideals. Again, not a bad movie. And if you're into the a supernaturally, whatever you possession, demony, I don't, I mean, again, I don't even know how to classify the movie per se. If you're into those kind of things, right, it's obviously just, you know, leans into the supernaturally. You know, you would like it more. You know, if you're looking for something slashery or anything like that, there's nothing here for you. Not a bad movie. Again, not a great movie. It's so hard to really put your finger on this movie, and unfortunately, that I think that hurts it in the end a little bit. Again, I think they had some good rough ideas. I think they should have maybe trusted their gut a little more and committed to them and really went with it and figured out what lane they wanted to go with and just trust themselves and go with it. So let's rate this again. I don't want to sink the movie. I think I'm gonna have to give it a 2.5 out of 5 screams. Again, the movie was okay, but I can't Don't think I can give it even that middle of the ground enjoyability. I think there was enough lacking here that it brought it slightly down for me. So I'm giving it a 2.5 out of 5 screams. Ike, what are you rating it?
Well, I am going to err on the other side. I think that the movie was okay for a middle of the ground movie. There wasn't anything that was extraordinary that would put it above and beyond. But I would go as far to say that I didn't hate this movie. I didn't love it, but I did like it. So I think a middle of the ground 3 out of 5 is pretty solid for that.
All right, there you go. So again, I think we're both in agreement. It's kind of somewhere in that middle. It's just there. It's kind of a bleh, not a waste of time to watch, but it's maybe not one of those movies you're going to watch and say, oh yeah, I need to watch that again. But again, if it's your thing, man, if that's your bag, maybe you will. That's cool. We appreciate that and we support that because that's the way we roll around here. So again, next episode, we are reviewing the movie Forbidden Fruits. I feel like Ike, we need to give ourselves by next episode some fruit code names. So
I'll come up with one.
yeah, stir on that. We'll put you in charge of that, right? You give us fruit code names that you feel apply to us. And again, obviously, we know apple, cherry, fig, and pumpkin are all off because there's already characters. We don't know what else. So that's your assignment. Give us some fruity code names. I'm down for that. That could make it more fun. So before we, again, the things we do, man. Before we close out, thank you to our wives for all your support. And of course, all of you listeners and followers for your support, your listens, your interactions, your followers, everything you guys do, right? You make it worth this. Anytime we read your comments, we see your responses, that just, it's the bright light within our world that makes us feel like this is all worth it. So continue on, right? We love the interaction. Continue on with that. And doing that, you had to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just search for Listen to Screams. That's Listen, the number two in Screams. Or Listen to Their Screams. You'll find us. It's easy to find. I don't think there's anything out there that close to us. When you do the search, you'll find a nice picture of Ike and I with a green background with our snazzy purple shirts. You'll find us. It's easy. So whatever platform you like, or all the platforms that you like, look us up, follow us, and interact with us, because we enjoy that. So Ike, before we close this episode out, is there anything you want to add?
Oh, man. I kind of meant to mention this at the top of the episode. I've been replaying a game called Gears of War, I would say that it falls into like a military horror shooter, because the enemy in that game is just, it is terrifying. Just the concept of it. But I've been replaying those games because there's a new one coming out in October called Gears of War E-Day. So it's exciting. I'm excited for the new game, and I've been replaying the old one. So
am I correct? Is there a movie in the works for that as well? Am I correct in that?
There is. I don't know if it's totally greenlit, but if I remember correctly, let me double check this.
I feel like it's one of those things you always hear about.
So right now, yeah, so it is currently in development with Netflix.
Okay.
They do have something in the works. It is in a sort of hiatus right now. Otherwise lovingly known as a what do they call it? Developmental hell. So
limbo.
Right now a little bit of limbo. It is something that's been talked about and is in the works, but you know how Netflix is. They like to sit on this thing for years and then never do anything with it, but we'll see. It'd be cool if they did do something.
I feel like eventually that trigger will get pulled, because it is a major franchise to do something with. So eventually I think we'll get something. So
yeah, I think so.
Well, all right then. There you have it. Again, go out there and watch Forbidden Fruits on Shudder June 26th, so that you know what we are roundabout talking about next episode. Go give The Voices of Our Mother, also on Shudder, a watch and give us some feedback on what you thought about it. Like we said earlier, follow us on social media, all that good jazz. Thank you guys for listening and all your support. And until next episode, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.